We've had two good lessons today. We're most appreciative of the efforts of Brother Romo and bringing us to us the gospel of Christ. And that's what we wanted to hear. So we're most appreciative of the things that he's had to say. I want to encourage you to make plans to be here for the rest of the week. That is through Wednesday, 7 p.m. for the things that we have to hear from Brother Romo yet to come. How can a flawed man stand before a perfect God Monday night? How do others know I belong to Christ? Tuesday night. Heaven is the best place for a family reunion Wednesday night. I certainly think that you should look forward to hearing those particular topics, as well as tonight's topic, an examination of biblical holiness. We certainly appreciate your efforts. You come speak to us.
I invite you to turn with me tonight as we begin to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we will begin in verse 13 in just a moment. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to begin in just a moment. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of us sitting in this room tonight would consider ourselves to be holy? I would dare say that the way that we think of holiness, not many of us would raise our hands. And friends, as Christians, that's kind of sad. Because we are called upon by God, and we'll see that here in this particular passage, to be holy because He is holy. Holiness is a word that we are afraid of oftentimes as human beings. Some have taken the word in the religious world around us upon themselves, saying that they are incapable of sin. And we're going to notice tonight that's not exactly what the word means, to be incapable of sin. Because we know as human beings, as fallen humans, a fallen creation, we are capable of sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand that. And we have examples of even Christians, and Apostle Peter in particular in Galatians chapter 2, that had sinned, even after becoming a follower of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, Peter records for us these words. He says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Now, before we get to what holiness is, I want to talk to us for just a moment about what holiness is not. Holiness, being holy, does not mean being perfect. Again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is clear on that matter. Romans 3 and verse 23. Now, absolutely, we ought to aim to be perfect. We ought to aim for sinless perfection, understanding that there are going to be times that we fall. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Being holy does not mean that I am better than you. It does not mean being better than anyone else. In fact, our opinion of ourselves should be lowered as we elevate the needs and thoughts of others above our own. There is no place for pride in the Christian. Being holy does not mean totally separating from other, or from, rather, not other, from non-Christians. John 17 and verse 15, as Jesus is praying for the disciples, and coincidentally, he's praying for us, those that will believe upon their word, that's you and I. Verse 20. He says, I do not pray, in verse 15, John 17 and verse 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Friends, our job is to try and rescue people from the clutches of Satan. We can't do that unless we rub elbows with them, so to speak. We live in the world. We're not to be of the world, but we live in the world. So what does holiness mean? It means, in a nutshell, putting God first. It means being set apart in His service. The word sanctify means to be set apart in His service. Holiness and sanctification come from the same root Greek word, hagias. It means trying every day to be more and more and more like God. How important is holiness to the Bible student? Well, listen to this. The word holy, in its various forms, is found 657 times in the Bible. The first usage of the word occurs in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, where Moses is told, do not draw near this place, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. The word translated holy, hagias, which we mentioned a moment ago, is also the root word for the word saints. It's translated holy or holiness 181 times in the New Testament. It's translated saints 62 times in the New Testament. Friends, holiness, holy, ought to be a very important word to you and I as followers of Jesus Christ. As children, as we talked about this morning, of God, as His family. He is holy, so ought we to be holy. Now, as I was contemplating this particular lesson, as we're thinking about biblical holiness, a study on this particular subject, I don't think there's a better place for us to go than the book of Leviticus. And so we're going to go and we're going to look at Leviticus tonight, but I want you to consider some things with me. If you want to go ahead and be turning over to that book, we'll get to a particular chapter here in a moment. But I want you to think about a couple of things with me. At Sinai, God laid out His plan for His children. The Father gave man the law to be obeyed and a place to belong. He delivered them from oppression in Egypt and would give them an earthly home in the promised land of Canaan. These people, the Israelites, would be a special treasure to Him if they would obey. With their faithfulness, Israel would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We find that in Exodus 19, verses 3 through 6. We read, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed, notice the word if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. In the New Testament, God laid out His plan for those that would obey the law of Christ. Like those in the first covenant, man under the new covenant would have a law to obey and a place to belong, which we talked about this morning, the house of God. The church, the kingdom, His family. That's where one that obeys His gospel belongs. As the children of Israel would be a special treasure, so would the Christians. Be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Leviticus chapter 11 is our key verse for tonight. Leviticus 11, verses 44 and 45. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. Moses records for us, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy." Notice the word consecrate in conjunction with holy. They were to set themselves apart. They were to be different than every nation that was round about them. Folks were to be able to tell that difference. "For I am holy," he said, "neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." One commentary said this about Leviticus. He said, "Leviticus tells New Testament Christians how to appreciate holiness and appropriate it into their everyday lives. The word holy is used 91 times in the book of Leviticus, and words connected with cleansing are used 71 times. References to uncleanness number 128. What do you suppose the book of Leviticus is then about? Holiness. God's plan, whether under the law of Moses or under the law of Christ, has been and continues to be that those who follow Him are to be a holy people. So, what does it mean to be a holy nation, a holy church, a holy family of God? Again, consider with me as we answer this question again. What holiness is not? I'll give you a few different things. It's not a social gospel meant to entertain or impress. There are denominations round about us that may be known for great crowds and expensive buildings and big budgets and even maybe political clout. But they're not distinguished for their holiness. Bible-believing evangelical Christians make up a sizable minority in the United States. But friends, here's the sad thing. Our presence is not making much of an impact in our society today. Why? Is it maybe that the salt has lost its savor? That we're not being holy as we ought to be? Is our light so well hidden that the marketplace has gone dark? Holiness is not something either that is meant to be done, as we talked about this morning, only on a Sunday morning. That's not faithfulness. That's not holiness. A holy nation, a holy people, is not restricted to being holy only in the house of worship and study. It is to be a holy nation in every walk of life, at home, in the marketplace, in the halls of government, and certainly in its treatment of others round about us on a day-to-day basis. It is not preaching and teaching what is meant to tickle the ears of the hearer. Isaiah 30 and verse 10, Romans 16 and verse 18, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Holiness is not, number 4, daily choices that are meant to please myself. We can see James 4, 13 through 16, and Colossians 2 and verse 23. So what is holiness? Holiness defined as this. For one to be holy, one must have a pure heart, integrity of character, and be free from sin through Christ, and as a result, he lives a sanctified and set-apart life. It includes being dedicated and devoted to God. Holiness means dedication. Holiness means loyalty. Holiness means an ability to break down the barriers of society that oftentimes prevent us from achieving spiritual satisfaction and nobility of purpose. A holy nation must therefore mean a nation, a people, that is able to retain its unique identity. It cannot be swallowed up by the prevailing and ever-changing majority cultures that will always surround it. Holiness speaks to discipline. It speaks to order, and it speaks to self-control and resisting impulse. The great challenge here is to instill these virtues and traits of character and behavior in ourselves, in the church, in God's people, not only in a few special, chosen, extraordinary individuals, but every single one. So then, how can we be the holy people, the family that God demands? Friends, we must first be part of that holy nation, having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, having our sins washed away and being added to the church by Him, by the Lord, where we become a part of the family of God, that holy nation. We then must follow the pattern of our Father. Again, verse 44 and 45 of Leviticus chapter 11. Listen carefully to what's being said. What is God telling the people? Think about this too, friends. The purpose of Leviticus is holiness. Have you ever noticed something that as you're studying the entire book of Exodus, where is God at all times? He's out in front of the people. He's not among them as of yet. You ever thought about that? God talks about how He wants to be among His people. And yet, as we see the Israelites leaving Egypt and they're traveling toward Canaan, they're wandering in the wilderness up until the time that they get to Sinai where they're given this law and it's passed down in the book of Leviticus. Every time we see God, Moses is having to go outside the camp to speak with Him. They're not yet a holy people. God cannot be among people that are not holy. You ever thought about that? Exodus and Leviticus are the preparation of this holy people, of teaching them what it is to be holy. Again, that's what the book of Leviticus is about. So listen carefully to what God is saying in Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. He wants to be among His people, and so He tells them, be holy, for I'm holy. Listen here. For I am the Lord your God. Don't they already know that? And He reiterates this time and time and time again. Why should you behave in this way? Because I am the Lord your God. You shall, for that reason, because I am your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. How badly did God want to be among His people? Badly enough that He would give them that law. That He would show them and tell them how they were to be holy. Think about this. Children gain physical characteristics from their parents. Genetics. You can look there. Oftentimes you can look at a child and that kid is the spitting image of whoever. May look like a miniature clone of the mother or the father. You know without a shadow of a doubt who that child belongs to. But then you also watch them as they grow and you see them behaving like their parents or you see them speaking like their parents and other habits are all shared as well as the physical similarities. We pick that up, the children do, from their parents. God's children then should imitate their father, should they not? Be holy, for I am holy. Do you know that phrase, be ye holy, for I am holy, or be holy, for I am holy, is found 8 times throughout Scripture? God says it's 8 different occasions. Be holy, for I am holy. To be holy, friends, it means being devoted to God with our entire lives. Turn over to Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14 and verse 14. Now remember, Peter says, under the New Testament, concerning being dedicated unto God, that we are a holy priesthood, a peculiar people, a special people, set apart unto God. Now this command in Leviticus 14 and verse 14 has to do with the priest. But again, remember, we are a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Now listen, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. See this in Exodus 29, 19 to 21, in consecrating Aaron and his sons as priests. Now, Philo, in the first century, he explained it this way. The fully consecrated must be pure in words and actions and in life, for words are judged by hearing, the hand is the symbol of action, and the foot of the pilgrimage of life. Is it any wonder that Paul records, beautiful are the feet of them that carry the message of the gospel? Our hands are always to be busy in the work of God. Friends, what is the meaning behind Leviticus 14 and verse 14? Here it is. Every word that he spoke or heard, everything that he did and everywhere he went, he was to be God's man. Today, every Christian is a part of the priesthood. We are washed in the blood completely. It doesn't just go on the tongue or the ear or the thumb or the toe. We're washed in it completely. All of me belongs to Jesus Christ. And just like the priesthood of Aaron, we are to be consecrated, we are to be devoted, we are to be set apart for God's service. Everything we say, everything we hear, everything we do, everywhere we go, we must be God's man. We are to be God's holy nation inside this building, but much more so outside. People are to see it. When we look at the world round about us today, it's happiness, not holiness, that is the chief pursuit of most people, including many professed Christians. They want Jesus to solve their problems and carry their burdens, but they don't want Him to control their lives or change their character. They want the man, but they don't want the plan, right? In God's kingdom, holiness is not a luxury. It's a necessity. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, we read, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which," this last part is not talking about peace, but holiness, "without which no man shall see the Lord." Now, they go hand in hand. But the emphasis there is on holiness. Because if we are holy, then we're going to seek peace with all men. God wants His children to be happy, absolutely. But friends, true happiness begins with holiness. We have declared for us in the book of Leviticus, the children of Israel were to be a holy nation in their worship, in the priesthood, in their personal lives, and in their society. The Christian, likewise, is a part of a holy nation that must be pure in New Testament worship. We must be pure in our Christian service, in our personal lives, and in our society, the church, the family, in which we find ourselves, in which we are added. Now, friends, while the tribe of Levi was set apart under the law of Moses, all Christians are set apart in the new covenant. And being an active part of the holy nation is a requirement in the family of God. It's not something for just a few select individuals. All who wear the name of Christ must be holy. With that said, being a holy nation, being a holy people, a holy family, it should impact how we live. Friends, everything in the life of the Old Testament Jew was either holy, that is, set apart for God's exclusive use, or common. And the common things were either clean, that is, the people could use them, or they were unclean, that is, it was forbidden for them to use. The Jews had to be careful to avoid what was unclean, otherwise they would find themselves cut off from the people until they had gone through the proper ceremony to be made clean again. So here's a question for you and I. When we think about holiness, do we keep ourselves free from the unclean? Let me put on my steel-toe boots for a minute because I'm going to get on my toes as well as everybody else's. What's on your television screen each night or each day? How often do we allow folks from Hollywood to come in and have sexual relations while we watch on our couch? How many movies do we turn on and we hear the filthy language of the world and we do nothing about changing the channel or finding something else to watch or putting it through a filter so that we don't have to hear that filth? How often do we revel in worldly things and taint our holiness? Are we careful to avoid the unclean? Are we living pure and holy lives? Friends, do we realize that if we do not live holy lives, that we will be cut off from God? That we will be cut off from His people? That we will be cut off from eternal life. 1 John 1, 5-9. Verse 7 there states that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. It is a continual walk. We have to be careful not to step off that path from time to time just because I want to. First, think about this for a moment. The laws governing marriage, birth, diets, personal cleanliness, the quarantine of diseased persons, the burial of the dead. Now, those certainly involved hygienic benefits to the nation, but they were all reminders that God's people could not live any way they pleased. Because they were God's chosen people, the Jews had to learn to put a difference between holy and unholy. They had to learn to put a difference between unclean and clean. They must not live like the godless nations round about them. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10. So do we prove our lives and by our lives that we know the difference between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean? Or do we prove to the nations around us that there is one true God? By nations, I mean those outside of Christ. There is only one true God, and do we prove to them that we love and obey Him and that they need to know about the Savior of the world who can give them eternal life? Are we holy as we ought to be, knowing that He is a holy God? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're going to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, we ask you tonight, as we discuss and think about biblical holiness, We mentioned at the beginning of our lesson that in order to be holy, you must first be part of that holy nation that is described. That holy people, that holy family that belongs unto God. And so we ask you that question tonight. Are you part of that family? Can you consider yourself holy tonight? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends, why not be washed in His blood tonight? Be set apart and dedicated under the service of God. Allowing that blood to wash you of your sins. To arise again to walk in newness of life. So that He can add you to His royal priesthood, His holy nation, His peculiar people. As a part of the family of God, are you living a holy, consecrated, and set-apart life? As a part of that family, do you need to repent? And come back to a faithful Father who will cleanse us from unrighteousness. Friend, whatever your need, if we can help you in any way, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to repent of sin, or friend, if you just need the prayers of the church, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing the invitation song.